jefe de la Misión de Observación Electoral. Señor Greener, usted tiene la palabra.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. In September 2009, the government of St. Vincent and the Grenadines invited the Organization of American States to observe a national referendum to consider a new draft constitution, scheduled for November 25, 2009. This was the first such referendum in the Eastern Caribbean, and thus of considerable historical significance. The process of constitutional reform in St. Vincent and the Grenadines began in October 2002, when the House Assembly unanimously approved a resolution mandating a review of the 1979 Constitution. At the same time, the initiative enjoyed bipartisan support, assumed a national perspective, and for the most part, remained above the daily political fray. The draft constitution was tabled in Parliament on May 28, 2009. In addition to presenting the draft document, the Constitutional Bill of 2009 provided the design of the ballot and other general considerations for the conduct of a national referendum. The draft constitution included a provision to create a republican form of government, replacing the Queen of England as the head of state with a president elected by a national assembly. It also established a system of local government and replaced the Privy Council as a final appellate court. For the Parliament, the draft constitution introduced elements of proportional representation to complement the first-past-the-post single-member constituencies common in the Caribbean. It also confirmed the legality of the death penalty and defined marriage as exclusively between a man and a woman. As the referendum date grew closer, the campaign began to break along party lines. The government invested public money in financing a yes campaign, while the opposition marshaled its forces towards securing a no vote. Indeed, on the eve of the referendum, many viewed the exercise as a gauge to measure the level of support for the Prime Minister and his Unity Labour Party, and conversely for that of the opposition New Democratic Party. A two-thirds vote was needed to approve the Constitution. Final results declared by the Electoral Office showed that 56% of those voting had voted no, and 43% voting yes. The new constitution was thus rejected. Voter turnout was 53%. The OAS observer mission consisted of 14 observers from 11 different countries. Observers deployed to all parts of St. Vincent and the outlying islands of the Grenadines, observing each of the 225 polling stations in the 15 constituencies of the country, and often returning more than once to a polling station to observe the progress of events throughout the day. Observers witnessed firsthand preparations for the referendum, voting, the counting of ballots, and the transmission of results. The mission conducted a quick count, transmitting immediately after the poll the results from a predetermined sample of polling stations to OAS mission headquarters. The results of the quick count closely paralleled the official results released the next day. OAS observers also interviewed presiding officers, returning officers, poll clerks, party agents, police officers, and members of the public regarding the preparations for and the conduct of the referendum. The environment in which citizens voted was orderly and peaceful. There were no reported instances of violence or intimidation of voters at polling sites, or of any other serious irregularities. Police were present in all the polling sites and effectively maintained security. The polling hours for the referendum were from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Most polling stations had opened by 7:03 a.m., and by 8 a.m., all were open. In 100% of the polling stations, sufficient materials for the referendum, such as ballot papers, were present, and presiding officers and poll clerks were at their assigned sites and followed the proper procedures. Party agents representing the Yes campaign, generally identified by their Unity Labour Party affiliation, and the No campaign, generally identified by their New Democratic Party affiliation, were present at the opening of 90% of the polling stations and appeared at all polling stations in the course of the day. On the whole, poll workers and party agents worked together harmoniously, although the mission did receive a few complaints and allegations concerning agents' access to polling sites. Observers noted that most people identified their polling sites easily, and the electoral authorities assisted those in doubt. Polls closed promptly at 5 p.m., and those in line were permitted to vote. Procedures for the close of the poll and the counting of the ballots were correctly followed, and preliminary results were available on the evening of referendum day. There were, in a handful of instances, infringements of the 100-yard line, which campaign materials, such as posters, should not be displayed. There were also a few instances of party agents complaining that they were excluded from polling stations, or too many agents from the other party were present at a polling site. In the outlying islands of the Southern Grenadines, Union Island, Kanawha, and Miro, returning officers noted that the Coast Guard had not delivered the materials for the referendum until after 9 p.m. on the evening before the referendum, causing some consternation. There were relatively few areas in which the mission felt that the referendum in St. Vincent and the Grenadines could have been improved. The mission would like to present the following preliminary recommendations. As constitutional reform is being debated throughout the Caribbean, the lessons learned in St. Vincent and the Grenadines should be applicable to other countries in the region. Number one, campaign financing remains an important challenge in the Caribbean. The unprecedented nature of this referendum process left a normative vacuum, which has still not been fully resolved. In particular, the question of whether it is appropriate for the government of St. Vincent and the Grenadines to utilize $4 million EC dollars of state resources for its Yes campaign, while the No campaign remained privately funded. Recently approved legislation provided the use of state funds to bring an alteration of the Constitution into effect. However, a newly created Vote No committee has challenged the use of state resources for the Yes campaign. At the presentation of this report, the legal process has not been concluded. St. Vincent and the Grenadines, indeed any country considering the use of a referendum, should establish the legality and appropriateness of using public monies to fund one side of a campaign. Number two, electoral authorities, government officials, and political party leaders acknowledge that the voters list contains more names than it should. The current list contains nearly 98,000, while the estimated population of St. Vincent and the Grenadines numbers 106,000. It is important to mention, however, that this list includes not only persons eligible to vote currently living in the country, but all persons eligible to register to vote and receive an identification card. By law, these names must remain on the voters list for up to 5 years. Before the referendum, the electoral office had initiated a registration drive that provided for a new voter identification card, including enhanced security features. Upon the arrival of the OAS mission, the electoral office had registered only 25,000 voters and distributed only 5,000 of the new cards. The electoral office should redouble its efforts to encourage citizens to apply for and collect the new registration cards before the next elections. Likewise, political parties must remain diligent in checking the voters list and utilizing the claims and objections period to identify and correct any anomalies. Number three, poll workers were generally well trained and the vote proceeded smoothly. However, greater uniformity and standardization of procedures across polling sites would be desirable. The mission observed some variation in instructing voters. Some presiding officers read the question on the ballot paper in full and explained the voting procedure, while others made more cursory remarks. There were also small variations in the way that different presiding officers and returning officers determined spoiled and rejected ballots. This variation did not, in the view of the mission, materially affect the outcome of any polling site, but the electoral authority should seek greater consistency in training of its polling officials. It is the opinion of the mission that when determining the validity of a marked ballot, the intention of the voter should prevail above any other consideration. Number four, some polling sites contain multiple polling stations in relatively cramped areas. This made conditions crowded, especially in those areas which experienced heavy rains on referendum day. The nature of some polling sites also presented difficulties for access by the physically challenged and elderly. The mission recommends greater attention to the signage, location, and layout of polling sites for improved access by the physically challenged and elderly and ease of use by all voters. We would like to recognize the work of the Supervisor of Elections, Sylvia Finley Scrub, and the Electoral Office, which effectively ran the referendum, and Minister Renee Baptiste, who had, as part of her ministerial portfolio, the organization of this first-of-a-kind electoral exercise. Their experiences should serve as an important reference for similar efforts in the Caribbean and beyond. The OAS wishes to acknowledge the important contributions of all those involved in the constitutional referendum, including the national observers from the National Monitoring and Consultative Mechanism, the hundreds of presiding officers, poll clerks, party agents, and police officers, and of course, the citizens of St. Vincent and the Grenadines, who made their preferences known in a clear but peaceful manner. These and others received the OAS observers with the highest degree of hospitality, courtesy, and appreciation, making our task that much easier and enjoyable. In closing, I would like to take this opportunity to express our gratitude to the governments of Canada and the United States of America for providing crucial financial support for this mission. I would like to recognize the permanent observer mission of Serbia, which for the first time sent one of its nationals to participate in an OAS mission. Lastly, I would like to recognize the important support of the OAS representative in St. Vincent and the Grenadines, Malene Glynn, and her dedicated staff for their support. This, Mr. Chairman, concludes the Chief of Missions report for the OAS mission to observe the referendum on constitutional reform in St. Vincent and the Grenadines.
Gracias, señor Greener, por su presentación.